Chapter 8. Margaret swallowed hard. Her mouth felt dry as cotton. She suddenly realized she was squeezing the side of the counter so tightly her hand ached. Forcing herself to loosen her grip, she stared down at the half-empty plant food bag, which she had dropped onto the floor. She felt sick. She couldn't get the disgusting picture out of her mind. How could her dad eat mud? He didn't just eat it, she realized. He shoveled it into his mouth and gulped it down, as if he liked it, as if he needed it. Eating the plant food had to be part of his experiments, Margaret told herself. But what kind of experiments? What was he trying to prove with those strange plants he was growing? The stuff inside the bag smelled sour, like fertilizer. Margaret took a deep breath and held it. She suddenly felt sick to her stomach. Staring at the bag, she couldn't help but imagine what the disgusting muck inside must taste like. Oh, she nearly gagged. How could her own father shove this horrid stuff into his mouth? Still holding her breath, she grabbed the nearly empty bag, wadded it up, and tossed it back into the trash. She started to turn away from the counter when a hand grabbed her shoulder. Margaret uttered a silent cry and spun around. "Casey! I'm home," he said, grinning at her. "What's for lunch?" Later, after making him a peanut butter sandwich, she told Casey what she had seen. Casey laughed. "It isn't funny," she said crossly. "Our own dad was eating dirt." Casey laughed again. For some reason, it struck him as funny. Margaret punched him hard on the shoulder, so hard that he dropped his sandwich. "Sorry," she said quickly, "but I don't see what you're laughing at. It's sick. There's something wrong with Dad, something really wrong."
"Maybe he just had a craving for plant food," Casey cracked,
still not taking her seriously.
"You know, like you get a craving for those honey-roasted peanuts."
"That's different," Margaret snapped. "Eating dirt is disgusting. Why won't you admit it?"
But before Casey could reply, Margaret continued, letting all of her unhappiness out at once.
"Don't you see? Dad has changed a lot, even since Mom has been gone. He spends even more time in the basement."
"That's because Mom isn't around," Casey interrupted.
"And he's so quiet all the time and so cold to us,"
Margaret continued, ignoring him.
"He hardly says a word to us. He used to kid around all the time and ask us about our homework. He never says a human word. He never calls me princess or fatso the way he used to. He never..."
"You hate those names, fatso,"
Casey said, giggling with a mouthful of peanut butter.
"I know," Margaret said impatiently. "That's just an example."
"So what are you trying to say?"
Casey asked.
"That Dad is out of his tree? That he's gone totally bananas?"
I don't know," Margaret answered in frustration. "Watching him gulp down that disgusting plant food, I had this horrible thought that he's turning into a plant."
Casey jumped up, causing his chair to scrape back across the floor. He began staggering around the kitchen, zombie-like, his eyes closed, his arms stretched out stiffly in front of him.
"I am the incredible plant man," he declared,
trying to make his voice sound bold and deep.
"Not funny,"
Margaret insisted, crossing her arms over her chest, refusing to be amused.
"Plant man versus weed woman,"
Casey declared, staggering toward Margaret.
"Not funny," she repeated.
He bumped into the counter, banging his knee.
"Ow!"
"Serves you right," Margaret said.
"Plant man kills,"
he cried, and rushed at her. He ran right into her, using his head as a battering ram against her shoulder.
"Casey, will you stop it?" she screamed. "Give me a break."
Okay, okay,"
he backed off.
"If you'll do me one favor,
What favor? Margaret asked, rolling her eyes.
Make me another sandwich.
Monday afternoon after school, Margaret, Casey, and Diane were tossing a frisbee back and forth in Diane's backyard. It was a warm, breezy day, the sky dotted with small, puffy white clouds. Diane tossed the disc high. It sailed over Casey's head into the row of fragrant lemon trees that stretched from behind the clapboard garage. Casey went running after it and tripped over an in-ground sprinkler that poked up just an inch above the lawn. Both girls laughed. Casey, on the run, flung the frisbee toward Margaret. She reached for it, but the breeze sent it sailing from her hand.
What's it like to have a mad scientist for a dad? Diane asked suddenly.
What?
Margaret wasn't sure she'd heard right.
Don't just stand there, throw it,
Casey urged from beside the garage. Margaret tossed the frisbee high in the air in her brother's general direction. He liked to run and make diving catches.
Just because he's doing strange experiments doesn't mean he's a mad scientist, Margaret said sharply.
Strange is right, Diane said, her expression turning serious. I had a nightmare last night about those gross plants in your basement. They were crying and reaching for me.
Sorry, Margaret said sincerely. I've had nightmares too.
Look out, Casey cried.
He tossed a low one that Diane caught around her ankles.
Mad scientist, Margaret thought. Mad scientist. Mad scientist.
The words kept repeating in her mind.
Mad scientists were only in the movies, right?
My dad was talking about your dad the other night, Diane said, flipping the disc to Casey.
You didn't tell him about going down in the basement, did you? Margaret asked anxiously.
No,
Diane replied, shaking her head.
Hey, are these lemons ripe?
Casey asked, pointing at one of the low trees.
Why don't you suck one to find out? Margaret snapped, annoyed that he kept interrupting.
Why don't you?
He predictably shot back.
My dad said that your dad was fired from Polytech because his experiments got out of control and he wouldn't stop them, Diane confided.
She ran along the smooth, closely cropped grass, chasing down the frisbee.
What do you mean? Margaret asked.
The university told him he had to stop whatever it was he was doing, and he refused. He said he couldn't stop. At least that's what my dad heard from a guy who came into the sales room.
Margaret hadn't heard this story. It made her feel bad, but she thought it was probably true.
Something really bad happened in your dad's lab, Diane continued. Someone got really hurt or killed or something.
That's not true, Margaret insisted. We would have heard if that happened.
Yeah, probably, Diane admitted. But my dad said your dad was fired because he refused to stop his experiments.
Well, that doesn't make him a mad scientist, Margaret said defensively.
She suddenly felt she had to stick up for her father. She wasn't sure why.
I'm just telling you what I heard, Diane said, brusquely tossing back her red hair. You don't have to bite my head off.
They played for a few more minutes. Diane changed the subject and talked about some kids they knew who were 11 but were going out. Then they talked about school for a while.
Time to go, Margaret called to Casey.
He picked the frisbee up from the lawn and came running over.
Call you later, Margaret told Diane, giving her a little wave.
Then she and Casey began to jog home, cutting through familiar backyards.
We need a lemon tree, Casey said as they slowed to a walk. They're cool.
Oh, yeah, Margaret replied sarcastically. That's just what we need at our house, another plant. As they stepped through the hedges into their backyard, they were both surprised to see their dad. He was standing at the rose trellis, examining clusters of pink roses.
Hey, Dad, Casey called. Catch!
He tossed the frisbee to his father. Dr. Brewer turned around a little too slowly. The frisbee glanced off his head, knocking the Dodger's cap off. His mouth opened wide in surprise. He raised his hands to cover his head, but it was too late. Margaret and Casey both shrieked in surprise as they saw his head. At first, Margaret thought her father's hair had turned green. But then she clearly saw that it wasn't hair on his scalp. His hair was gone. It had all fallen out. In place of hair, Dr. Brewer had bright green leaves sprouting from his head.